Welcome to Breaking Free Authentically, the podcast where we explore what redefining relationships looks like through a sex-positive lens. Let's kick shame and guilt to the curb and really start living a sexy, authentic life. I'm passionate about normalizing out-of-the-box ways of designing relationships. There's nothing quite like finding your tribe and experiencing the freedom of being completely yourself without judgment. I'm your host, Corinne Bedard, your sex-positive relationship designer, and I'm here to guide you in creating the relationship you desire, whether that is a more open one or simply a more empowered one. Join me every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to enjoy the newest episode. Well, welcome back to Breaking Free Authentically. This is episode 73, and I'm very excited to have my guest Nina Powell with me today. I have known her for a few years now. We met in a business container online, and we worked together and learned a lot about each other and each other's work. And our work has always been very different, but also very aligned and similar in a lot of ways, because we really both desire to free people sexually and personally. And the personal release, if you will, is part of that sexual awakening as well. So I'm so glad that we finally got to record a podcast together. It's been a long time coming, so this is very exciting. I'm just going to read her bio a little bit because I think it'll just help put a little bit of context. Purposed with infectious inspiration, Nina is the founder of the Wild Divine Orgasmic Leadership Movement. And Nina is sharing her liberation with the world's most impeccable women through individual and group experiences and retreats. Her clients, the bravest of women, enjoy amazing connections to their body. They feel exquisite levels of self-expression and step into their power like nobody's business. These women access their true inner goddess and magnetize their desires and hold a divine magnetism that brings them an impenetrable inner joy and peace. She says, "When my inner world transformed, I realized much of my thinking of this or that not being right was my nervous system being bound up with the past. It was causing me to want to run. Fight, flight, or freeze are the only solutions that our ancient brain structures have. Truth can only come once we've transformed our inner world and reclaimed our life force. Then we find that it's possible to both create an amazing life and enjoy it." I love that. Today we really delve into this idea of not just creating the life that you want, but actually starting with the point of enjoying what you have first and enjoying being you at your core. And once you can enjoy like the little things in life and enjoy who you are and the things that happen around you, the pleasure in your body, the pleasure on your skin, even the pleasure in tasting your food, the pleasure of connecting with certain people, then life becomes a whole different experience. And it just becomes magnetic and enjoyable. And then we can really create out of a different energy, and it just becomes magnified. And we're both in alignment on that piece. It's not about changing everything about your life so that you can enjoy it. It's enjoying your life and changing from the inside and being aware and curious and living your life from a different place of embodiment and curiosity and joy. And from there comes the joy of living. And then we can add to that. And I think a lot of times we think it's just going to be from adding more sex or adding, you know, sexual experiences to our life, joining the lifestyle, if you will, is going to create the life that you want. And nothing could be further from the truth. If you need to change your life because you feel like you need to escape your life, then you're not truly living. So life is not about our circumstances. Life is about how we view it, how we embody it, how we experience it sort of at the soul level, and changing our beliefs and our subconscious programming that runs the show, becoming aware, becoming embodied, increasing our pleasure, noticing pleasure, and allowing it into our lives is the start. So that's what we talk about today. So enjoy. I absolutely love this conversation with Nina. We'll be right back. Please visit our website at www.breakingfreeauthentically.com and subscribe to our mailing list so you never miss an episode. Be sure to leave a review on Podchaser by clicking the link at the top of the page. That would mean the world to me. Finally, I'd love for you to join Breaking Free Authentically, our private sex-positive relationship community on Facebook. All the links will be posted in the show notes. Enjoy the show. Do you feel like you've been sold a fairy tale when it comes to sex and love? Why isn't it working? Why am I not fulfilled or satisfied? Why do I have a deep longing for more? Maybe you've had some of these thoughts. Did you know it's not your fault? That's right. You've been brainwashed since childhood with disempowering beliefs about sex and relationships. This is known as the mono mindset. If you're tired of feeling stuck, you're ready for Breaking Free from Conformity, the 8-week program where you will learn how the mono mindset has set you up for failure in relationships, why you think of sex as wrong or taboo, why you judge yourself. You will finally learn how to have empowered relationships with confidence and success. Many of my clients have said, "Corinne, I didn't know I had choices. I thought I needed a partner to feel complete. I thought I was supposed to suppress my desires to have a successful relationship." Well, what if you could learn to love yourself and your desires without guilt? Well, you can. With Breaking Free from Conformity, the 8-week program, shifting the subconscious programming that is keeping you stuck. It's not your fault. You weren't given a choice. It's time to break free and start living your life. To register, go to offers.corinnebedard.com/BFFC for Breaking Free from Conformity. I can't wait for you to find ultimate freedom and create an empowered relationship for yourself. Well, welcome back to Breaking Free Authentically. Today, my guest is Nina Powell. Nina is from New Zealand.
I am, yeah. A little town in New Zealand, little mountain town. Yeah.
Perfect. So Nina Powell is with me today. Nina, thank you for being here. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do? What is your amazing work? Because I think I love what you do.
Thank you so much. So about 10 years ago, I was actually a bit longer now.
I know, it goes fast.
More like 12 years, it goes fast. About 12 years ago, I was working a corporate job. I was in this place in my marriage where I was constantly going into this place, oh, should I stay? Should I go? No one is all bad. I had these stories going around my head. I mean, do you know what I mean? Those times that you end up in your life where you feel really confused about the direction and you get all up in your head trying to work it out and kind of like pros and cons and rational lists. But yeah, underneath you feel really unsettled and getting to more and more life force draining out of you for the situation you're in, like more and more deadness, more and more sadness, more and more stuckness, and more frustration. And So what happened is I actually ended up leaving the marriage. I had quite an intense wake-up moment, which was I got pregnant and realized that I didn't want to have a baby with this person. I could leave the marriage for the baby, but I couldn't leave it just for me. It was like this thankful, grateful moment of like, oh my God, this is a really tough situation. But it gave me enough power and energy to get myself out of something, out of this like, should I stay or should I go situation all the time. And in that leaving, I was still in this corporate job, going in, you know, brought so much life force out of me and leaving this marriage, a sense of power and energy. And okay, it was total emotional chaos at the same time, but there was this like amazing light and fire that had woken up in me that had been buried underground, and I'd forgotten who I was.
Yes.
And you know that feeling like when you see that image of the phoenix rising out of the ashes,
yes,
and you know this feeling of like, oh my God, anything is possible. And I finally had found that in me again. And I was realizing that my corporate job was also taking life force away from me. Mm. And I was in this room looking around. There was a room full of computers. And I had to write a lot of reports. And, you know, it was a lot about being a human factors consultant. A psychologist was like turning me on. There was a lot of exciting projects and things that I enjoyed, but ultimately there was a sense of, is this, you know, that feeling, that thought you might have sometimes of like, is this the only life that I'm gonna live? Yeah.
And that I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah. So is this really it?
Mm-hmm.
Is this really it? And since that point, there's something in me just started to follow the things that I wanted, like the things that I enjoyed. It's this weird thing of like being, I suppose, being so, you know, where you feel like really, really at the rock bottom of life, where you really know that you have to give yourself something good, because otherwise you're gonna die. Kind of feeling like I needed something good. So it was, you know, this point where I just started to follow things that I enjoyed, and ended up now where I've taken my master's in psychology on a totally radical route and became a somatic sexologist.
Nice.
And now also working somatically with women with trauma healing. And it's basically nothing turns me on more than seeing people come back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea I initially had was around creating the life that you love, right? Because there were so many external changes that I went through terms of marriage and job and everything. But then I realized it's actually more about loving the life that you have. Because I'd done all this huge training and process and moved my life back to New Zealand from the UK and living in more in nature and have this amazing partner now and all these things. And I kept on feeling like I needed to move. I needed to go somewhere else all the time. It's like, what is this? It's like, I feel like I just like, it's like go, go, go. And, you know, have you ever had that feeling where you think that you change the external thing or make you feel better inside? And then I had this huge experience of healing through somatic healing, nervous system healing, and really like being a lot of all this emotional stuff that I hadn't looked at. And then I was out walking with my friend at this place called Mount Iron. It's this Mount Iron. Sounds like it's anyway, it was a hill that we have in town. That the town I live in was a glacier. And now it's like one sort of hill is left as the glacier kind of carved out the landscape. Okay. And I was walking up there with her, and I suddenly realized that I didn't feel like I needed to move anymore. And it's this huge fucking aha around, well, what if there's something inside that can transform, that will actually help you to open more to the life that is right in front of you? And I actually fall in love with the landscape I'm in and feel more open and able to connect, and like it was, yeah, this journey. So my work over the last last few years has been really around helping people to come more into the truth of who they are through the body and being able to open more to life and see what happens when you transform your inner world, whether you still feel like you need to leave your marriage or whether you still feel like you need to quit your job. So it's about this real deep alignment rather than running away and making these big external changes. It's like, well, what will happen if I heal my blocked heart, my numbed out heart? What will happen if I no longer veer away from my partner when they come in the room? Like, I feel like we've resolved this thing, and I actually notice I'm leaning forward, because I see all these things that people are talking. It's like the closing that was happening. Yeah, so there's something about this, like opening more to the life that you have, and taking people through this stepped process to transform their inner world, remember who the fuck you are, come out of deadness back into life force, come out of a place where you're living your life through lots of maybes, like you're kind of like, oh, that will be okay, or yeah, it's okay if you come with me on a walk, yeah, it's okay if we have breakfast, instead like start creating more like spaces where you're feeling yes.
Yeah.
And so it's, yeah, really working out who you are from that place. And yeah, and then quite often people are in this one place, they're like, should I leave my job, should I leave my husband? It's like the common situation when people come to me, and it's about choosing which needs looking at first. Like, where is the energy? Yeah, like, where is life leading you first? Like, where is the impulse, the pleasure, the joy? Like, how can you expand your capacity to feel more pleasure? Stop living from your mind and actually start making choices that open you to, like, orgasmic life force is what I would call it.
And that's really hard, because we are taught, you know, that, you know, don't think with your heart, think with your head, right? Like, we have these messages in our culture, and I'm all about like shifting. I call it the mono mindset, or like the programming that we have that tells us how we're supposed to think, how we're supposed to live. It's just such a societal imprinting, you know, and that societal cultural programming is often informed from the religious programming, and people don't even realize how much they're tied together. And part of that is truly that energy of shame and guilt when it comes to pleasure, when it comes to sexuality, and anything that is pleasurable and brings so much joy physically in the body, is, you're called a heathen or something for wanting those things. And there's so much slut shaming and all of that, because people, and it's always explained away, you know, like, oh, even things like, I'll sleep when I'm dead. Like, sleeping is pleasurable and it's needed and it's a way to reconnect to yourself. But people deny themselves rest, you know, as a simple form of pleasure. So, of course, allowing sexual pleasure or things. You were talking about, you know, enjoying the moment, like how you eat your food, how you see your day. And so tell us a little bit more about that, because I am in agreement there. It's so important.
Well, what I've been playing with a lot at the moment, which is just totally like exciting me, is this fact that we can open more to pleasure capacity through the body. Because you could go down, when you're doing healing work, you might spend time, you know, healing trauma, healing your pain, healing things. And you can get into this thing of being a project person, like you need to fix yourself, but there's this idea that once I fix this, then I can have that. And that is just a spiral. Whereas there's this other end of the scale that people sometimes forget about, which is so important, which is how can you expand more into to being able to hold more goodness, greatness, and pleasure? Because there's this book called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks that I was reading recently, and this set all these fireworks off in my mind because so he talks about it in terms of your upper limit. So we all have this capacity for goodness, greatness, so before we will sabotage it and before we will and something will happen. It will seem like it's outside of your control. Like for me, it would be, why does my partner always pick a fight with me when I'm about to do this amazing, cool work thing that I'm like totally stretching myself into doing? Or the other week, I ended up having to take my dog to the vet when I had this other work workshop that I was going to hold somewhere that was feeling a bit edgy for me. And it was like, how interesting. So it seems outside of your control. You know, there's like these things, these sabotages. It's like, what have I got to do with my dog needing to go to the vet? But of course, I hadn't been listening and watching. I'd been ignoring. You know, I can see how unconsciously I let that play out, like to stop me going, to keep me at the same level. And it's the same with pleasure, like feeling of pleasure in the body. And, you know, years ago, I noticed it in terms of I would look at a sunset and I'd feel this sort of rush of like pleasure and bliss, like, wow, like taking over my whole system. And then I noticed I would look away. I'd be like, what is that? Like, why, you know, why am I looking away? What's this pleasure thing that I get to a point where I like stop it? And in The Big Leap, he talks about, he notices his mind, something really good is happening, and then all of a sudden he has a fear-based thought just as the good thing is happening. So there's different ways in which we turn away from pleasure and expanding into more pleasure in your life. And I mean, there's so much I can say about this, but it's like really noticing with people in terms of transforming your life so that you have this beautiful relationship that actually meets this like highest expression, greatest expression of your being, or bringing forward that dream, that work that you've been wanting to bring forward into the world forever that is going to expand you. Most of what seems to stop that is actually not so much you have to go and heal your self-worth and all this kind of like problem stuff. It's more like, how can you expand your capacity for more goodness? Like, how much goodness will you let yourself receive? And I have a free series on my website called The Art of Receptivity, where I start to help people play with being able to be more receptive in your body. And it's all really connected to the same thing of like, can we be present to pleasure? Can we let, you know, can you let goodness come into your life? And that is, you know, very connected, I feel like, with the work that you're bringing forward through this podcast, is through living authentically, because authenticness and opening to the life that's truly yours is actually about a good feeling. It's about following the impulse that leads you to expansion and more goodness.
It's interesting that you say that, because so a lot of times, so I work with a lot of couples and stuff in relationships, right? And a lot of times couples want sort of like the relationship counseling or whatever. And couples have this idea, like we've been taught that we need to resolve the issue before we can have peace, or that before we can be okay. And there's this little book that I read a while back. I mean, this is kind of something I've noticed already, but this kind of affirmed it. And it's called The Relationship Handbook. I can't remember who it's by at the moment, but and the whole focus on it is that in a relationship, we have to focus on bringing joy and love and peace to the relationship if we want it to work. And it's not always about resolving the issues. Like sometimes the issue is not going to be resolved. Sometimes that's not at all what the problem is. It's that we seek repair. And I talk a lot about in empowered relationships. Like a lot of times people say it's all about communication. And I'm like, bullshit. It's not about communication, because you could say all the right things till you're blue in the face. But if you don't feel safe and if you don't have connection, you will not be able to say those things. You will not be able to communicate anything. And safety is not just someone else holding safe space for you. It's you holding safe space for yourself, first and foremost. Because if I have shame and guilt about what I believe and what I think, what I want and desire, then I'm going to possibly bring that up, but I'm going to bring that up with shame, not holding safety for myself. And so then I need you, I'm attached to the outcome of how you receive it in order to make myself feel safe. And the way I present it might come across that now I'm threatening someone else's safety, because now there's pressure for them to accept my needs when I don't even feel safe with my own needs. They're sensing that energy and they're almost being repulsed by that, the way I'm communicating. And so I talk so much about, like, this safety and connection starts with yourself. Like, if you don't have any kind of connection to yourself or feel safe in your own body, like, how do you expect to be able to hold safety for anybody else? Or be authentic with anybody else? Because you're going to be so worried about how they receive you. And that's going to determine your worth, when that's not a, at all. It's about feeling good in your body, feeling good about the life that you're living and who you are being at your core. So I love your little line, you know, loving the life you have, because you could have the worst life and still love your life. And that says a lot about you as a person. And your ability to adapt and your ability to show up authentically and be in the energy of being able to receive anything. I'm sure you've heard of Regan. What's her last name? The manifestation girl. Oh my gosh, hold on.
I know who you mean.
Regan Hillier. Regan Hillier. So I'm doing the Art of Manifesting on Mind Valley with her right now. And so she talks a lot about, you cannot manifest something that you don't have a container for. Like, the, if you don't have a container to hold the energy of what you want or what you desire, you won't be able to manifest it. And so in our own lives, if we can't even enjoy pleasure or envision hanging on to the things that bring us joy to begin with, like, if we can't even envision it, we have no place to put that pleasure. We're not going to hang on to it. We're just going to shoot it away. No, we're going to.
Yeah, we won't even notice it's there. Like, you could have the most amazing partner in the world, but because you have unresolved arguments stuck in your body, because you had some kind of trauma sexually or birth trauma or something that has happened, you cannot even see their amazingness. You are so stuck in the past. That's what I mean, really, as well, about this, like, loving the life you have. It's like, you need to transform your own. Once you transform your own inner state, you can open to the life that's actually fucking amazing. And I think that's what Regan talks about, probably, with the manifestation. It's like, how can you, you know, you, if you have this idea that when I get a new partner, or like, you start dreaming, fantasizing about somebody else that's not your husband, you know, and you think, oh, that will be it, you know, that is showing that there's some, you know, stuff there. It's like the idea that over there is going to create the amazing, like, when I suddenly have $1 million, then I'm going to feel wealthy. It's like, well, what about all the wealth that you already have? And can we open to, like, feeling more of the pleasure of what's, like, literally there? And it's a capacity thing, and it's a habit thing in the body, because, you know, people go to, if you go to a good restaurant, what's the thing, something like, it's like you have to work 9 times harder, I think, at opening to goodness. We're just very, very programmed for safety and survival to notice the bad. So it's like, so it's a real effort thing. Like, it's not natural in your system to go around feeling like constant bliss. You know, that we have to like work at it, like, you know, opening your eyes and looking around, or feeling. A lot of my clients, are some of the simple things through my work that they love is that all of a sudden they feel drawn to wear fabrics that feel really amazing on their skin. And before that, they didn't even have a sensory experience of the clothes they were wearing. It's like this awakening that we go through in order to really love the life you have, because life is actually made up of millions of mini moments all joined together.
And some people
want to like open to those mini moments.
Some people are just so programmed to miss all the moments, or they only notice the negative moments, and they literally live their life going, everything bad happens to me. And
that's probably when they're in a survival state. They're in a fear state. Like what you're saying, like they don't feel safe within. And then that not feeling safe within means that they're unable to receive what's happening. So you might think it's something your partner's doing, but it's like, well, what about?
Or why am I not having a partner? Why can't I have a partner? Why is everybody so shitty to me? Why
is everyone so shitty to me? Why do I always meet people that blah, blah, blah? Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you're kind of answering your own question, but you can't see it at all.
Yeah. I mean, because quite often couples will come to me and they think that they're going to do couples therapy because that's this like model that's out there. And we're going to like do this thing.
That's what I was getting at. Yes.
It's a relationship. But actually, I work with the woman. That's the work. That's what I end up doing. Not that she is the one with the problem, but that's my main passion, is bringing the woman most alive. But the work that we do then totally transforms the relationship. Because you bring yourself wherever you go. Like, you can't avoid it, eh? Like, I could go and move towns, but if I do that, the reality is I'm going to still bring this desire to run and move towns if I just keep moving towns.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to bring this unsettled feeling within me to any other situation, right?
Yeah. So there's something so beautiful about the pleasure path. Like, one of the exercises that I give to people, which could be really edgy for some of the people listening to your show, but also could be something really amazing to do, is to take a bath or lie on your bed and make a beautiful space, make it nice and warm, bring some oil, and you're going to do a practice where you go around your whole body looking for pleasure with your touch. So bringing this eroticized like feeling to your touch, because the mind, what makes things erotic is the mind, not the that you could be stroking your arm, just stroking your arm, it might feel like nice or average, but if you bring an intention of like eroticism, it will change how you touch your arm and how you receive it. So to go around their whole body and just start looking for pleasure, it's like you've got to start waking your body up to.
Yeah.
You know, that's just such a radical act to touch your own body.
It is, because some of us were shamed since we were poor for doing that.
yeah. And so some people find that that is too much, like that's too much of a leap to go and like look for pleasures over the whole body. So it might be starting with just looking for connection, like having an intention of connection. And what places feel really good when you connect with them. And then, you know, and then it might be looking for pleasure, but ultimately like, we can reprogram ourselves
and that is the beautiful thing. You know, I think, you know how people talk about gratefulness practices and stuff, people are like, yeah whatever,
yeah,
but it's the same thing, is like when you practice gratefulness, it's like you're seeking pleasure in all the things around you, and you're noticing. Just like when you touch yourself a certain way, you're noticing the sensation on your skin, whereas if you didn't pay attention to it, you wouldn't notice. Whereas a gratefulness practice means, you know, I might only have $2, but I am so grateful that I found that $2 in my pocket and I didn't have $2 before that. And what a blessing that is, instead of, oh, I only have $2.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, like, so you're changing your physiology in the moment, hey? Like, exactly. In that moment. you're like reorienting your awareness to where is the expansion happening, where is the pleasure here, where is the opening. I've not really caught on to a gratitude practice. I sort of not something that I have been drawn to do. I've tried it before, but it never seems to stick. But I sometimes like to do a celebration practice, like what am I celebrating today? And that is great for me to do that. And there's more and more science like catching up with this stuff. So there's this new science of awe. Have you seen anything about that? Mm-mm. This is like, oh, so exciting to me because this is all about this expansion again. So there's a study that's been published now around people that he did a study, I think it was around the COVID time. So people that were experiencing, he looked at the number of experiences of awe somebody was having throughout their day in relation to their stress levels and their somatic experiences in their body. So like pain and ill health and stuff like that in the body. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the more experiences of awe you have throughout the day, the less stress and pain you're receiving, your experience in your body. So these are people that I call it pleasure. Mm-hmm. He calls it awe. I mean, awe is a universal human emotion that if you think about the face of somebody who's experiencing awe, I would say most people would have an image pop up of they would be able to recognize awe
on the face. So you're saying like AWE, right?
Yeah.
Just for our listeners, in case someone's not understanding. this feeling of awe, oh wow, like this is great. It's interesting that you're saying that because so I remember when I was a kid, my mom was just mesmerized by the movie Pollyanna. Did you ever see that movie, Disney movie?
I don't remember
movie?
It at all. No.
So Pollyanna, she was like, her father was like a pastor. She was a missionary and he was a pastor. And he always talked about just noticing the wonderful things in life, you know, and they used to have steak and ice cream for dinner. It was like a special treat to have steak and ice cream. And her aunt, cause she's now an orphan, and her aunt's like, well, that's ridiculous. That's steak and ice cream don't go together, you know? And she was like, oh, but it was such a special thing kind of thing, you know? And she would like find the beauty in all things. And her aunt was a grump, you know, and she was like, oh, but this is so wonderful. And she just had awe about so many things, a doll or new experiences and, oh, wow, watermelon and da, 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 all these things. And my mom really just loved that movie. And she was one to kind of analyze everything and like, put those things into practice, you know, and have us notice things and teachable moments and all that. And she was someone who would try to notice that. And I've had a lot of people say to me, you know, in my life, like, you know, you're such a child, you know, like sometimes you act like you're not a child. You don't need to be so excited about everything. And I'm like,
thank you very much.
I'm like, why would I not be excited in life? Like to me, living is exciting. And I try to make the best of every situation that I have. And literally I've been in situations like I could easily be on the street from my situation the past few years with my separation and everything. And I've never had like a career. I wasn't a career woman. I was a stay-at-home mom and I did music and, you know, I was a teacher and I kept minimal hours. So I was available. So like, I never had a full-time income. All of a sudden I'm like, oh, I have to be the breadwinner and I'm starting this business and trying to through all of COVID and all this stuff. Right. But I've always kind of had this like everything works out attitude and I try to notice all the things that do work out. And yes, I've had depression and stuff in the past little while because things have been really hard just emotionally in so many areas of my life. But I've never quite let go of like noticing the good things. And literally, I never have gone without, you know, like I always have food. I always have money somewhere. Like a few weeks ago, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. And like all of the government checks showed up at the same time. And I was like, where did these come from? I was not expecting them at all. And I was like, what? Okay. And it just seems to be like that, that the more I expect beautiful things to happen in my life, the more the beautiful things show up. And when I expect things to go badly, they actually do, because I don't have the capacity to hold the pleasure or the joy. And we that. We sabotage ourselves so much.
Totally. And I'm really, you know, so passionate about it, keeping on expanding that within me too, because I have certain areas of my life that I get more tangled up in the lack and the fear, and and then the other part of my being, you know, I suppose we have all these parts, don't we? And it's funny that Pollyanna story is gorgeous. I love it. And I love that you brought in that about beauty being such a expansive experience. And I feel like for me, the word I would often use is pleasure. And I focus so much on how do people really access pleasure in their in their bodies, and now I want to bring that, I'm bringing that more and more into people in a greater expression of their life and their capacity for goodness and greatness in all the ways, and you know, bringing their dream out into reality, things like that. And then the other things I think about is other books I'm drawn to, and I think this is always really interesting too, by the way, that what we're drawn to has a greater significance than what you realize. Like it could actually be to do with a past life, it could be to do with this part of who you are that you haven't acknowledged yet, you know, all these things. You go to your bookshelf and pick up all these things that you think are so magical, and maybe you have a story that I wish I was more like that, or I wish I could write a book like that, or whatever. It's actually in you. And that means that energy is actually part of who you are. You've just forgotten to acknowledge or find it hard to see yourself, which is really natural. And play, like books about play. Like I was thinking about your exuberance, and I was reading this story about being more play, and he talks about when a dog gets out of the car and it just like runs crazy loops. And it's like, how can we like remember to just say yes to life and to like open more, and you know, can we go on this path together of expanding our capacity for goodness and expanding our capacity for pleasure, and just cleaning up all the shame and all the guilt that shows up along the way, and all the stuff. Like but rather than being like down in the weeds of trying to heal, being like, I'm on this journey of expansion, and like see shame as a doorway. Like you meet this edge, and it's going to make you feel like a doubt spiral, a shame spiral, or something trying to happen, but not because it's a bad thing. It just means that you're expanding, and that's so fucking amazing that you've been that brave, and you're laying your heart on the altar, right? It's like,
Tony Robbins calls it the thermostat, you know, like in your home is set at a certain level, and if it gets too hot, the AC comes on and cools it down, and if it gets too cold, you know, the heat comes on to bring it back up. And so it's like, we're uncomfortable, like when the temperature gets too high, we're like, no, it's hot in here, I can't stand this, I can't. But like, if we just let that go, we'd find a new normal, and we'd enjoy that temperature. It's like in the summer, we can handle high temperatures. In the winter, that's like, totally. Oh my gosh, that's so hot. But in the summer, we're like, oh, it's so beautiful. It's context, right? And so if
it's a lens. It's like, not good or bad or.
Right. So we're going to expand like this thermostat is like, what's that window of comfort? You can expand that. And then.
Just through feeling it, like breathing into it, like going, holy moly, my heart is racing. But it's, you know, like, wow, what if I can just like let it run down my arms and run down my legs? And
But we're supposed to try and
shut it down. Like, I don't want to live as a flatlining. Like, I don't want to flatline my life.
But like, we're kind of like, as an adult, we're kind of trained out of taking risks. We're trained out of wanting to live on the edge, because that's not responsible.
Yeah.
And you can't count on that. Yeah. And so we kind of are like
freaking the fuck out. Eh?
Exactly.
The
mind is like, we have to worry. Right. We have to worry and make sure that you can pay your finances and this and that. And, you know, and that's why a lot of times us with ADHD, we're the like entrepreneurs and are willing to like, you know, risk it all to do the thing we're passionate about because, well, it can work out. You know, we kind of have this childlike mindset a lot of times and we're like, oh, screw being responsible. Let's just try this thing, you know? And you have to have an element of that because life and growth is about risk, right? Sometimes you don't know what's going to be on the other side. And that's the beauty and the fear at the same time.
It is. I mean, when I, you know, early on in my sort of working life and whatnot, I was so focused on being the professional and creating a professional career. And I was going to follow this professional path because I grew up in a hippie community in New Zealand in the middle of nature, totally wild and free, swimming naked in rivers.
I can't imagine you
climbing plum trees and just, you know, being just this wildling, you know, so alive and so free. And I was so ashamed of my hippie parents and their car that had different colored doors. And, you know, they just didn't care about the money. They both, like most people in this community, were highly qualified, like master's, PhD, you know, but they'd left that world and decided to live this other life. Like that was a choice that they'd made. You know, so there I was creating this career from this idea that I had that would make me happy, following this professional path, like this laid out norm of society.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to this point, it's like I'm playing a role.
Yeah.
I'm having to play a role to fit in. And that, you know, is not sustainable over the long run, not if you want to live alive. So, yeah, so it comes this wild kind of freedom of like, well, what the hell?
Well, what if I just when I met you, you were like all about like the wild woman, right? Like releasing the wild woman and kind of the wolf was like part of your.
Yeah, the wolf is a big part of, yeah, that wild instincts and not the wild woman. Like people think of the wild woman as a crazy woman.
No,
but it's not. The wild woman is just she like sniffs things out. She, you know, her senses are really alert.
She knows about
instinct. Yeah. And she knows, like, she's connected to the earth. It's like this part of you that has, it's connected to life. Like, you know, if you get to the point where your hair is falling out and you feel dead and your skin is withering and all this stuff, it's like you do what's needed to sing your soul back to life. Mm-hmm. And that's the wild woman energy, is like singing yourself back to life and choosing partners that really nourish your deepest being. And I guess coming into choice is the big thing that I think about a lot in terms of relationship, like not being in this indecision place and always coming back to choice. And I do that a lot in my relationship now. We've been together, it'll be 11 year anniversary this weekend.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
My true love. It's so amazing. It feels so amazing.
Awesome.
And the big thing for me through this relationship has always been about being in a place of choosing. So when we have had big argument or something has really wobbled me, a few years back we had some really big blow up and I went for a walk and I realized I was totally in that place of like, oh, I don't know if I want to put up with this in a relationship or this is like, no, but I was keeping it all inside. I wasn't saying any of it out loud because I was scared too, because I was like holding on, like I don't dare let this life go, you know, this is like the good as it gets, you know,
right,
I feel that
right.
part. But I went for a walk and I really took my time to process through the emotions and all of the feelings, and I remembered the commitment I'd made myself to never be settling, always be choosing. I never wanted to be in a relationship where I was settling again, because it's just so draining, and
it is.
Doesn't serve anyone, right? It's not respectful for anyone.
It doesn't. And this idea that it's a failure is such a detriment to living, I think.
Yeah or like you should suffer your lot, or like you made a choice, stick with it, or But if you're living it where you don't feel like you're fully all in, then for me, I want to make the commitment to being out. Right. And I'm not saying that there's not times where you have to process what's going on, but but not to be in something for months, like to really like
not to be look in a toxic and be cycle. Like,
yeah.
Be like some people are in a toxic cycle and they're like, settling? Well, I'm not perfect either. So, you know, I should stick it out. It's like, no. If you have more bad moments than good moments, it's time to really evaluate if that's healthy.
You want to be in a place of choosing. You want to be like, I choose this person.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I mean, that's what happened for me in that process. And such a powerful rush of energy coming back and knowing that I'm choosing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I choose this. Yeah, shit's going to come up. We're going to deal with it at times. But I'm choosing to do it with this person. And until the point where I don't feel like I'm choosing anymore, then I'm in. But I don't want to be in one leg in, one leg out type life.
This is why so my partner and I, we just moved in together in June. We've been together for like 7 years now, which is really exciting. And I remember like having a conversation just this morning with a friend saying, like talking about if I was going to actually get divorced or not. And I was like, there's not really any need to, like, there's no point. It doesn't really matter. Like, well, if you want to get remarried, I was like, but I don't, like, I don't need that at all. I said, I actually love the situation that we're in, and we both neither of us want to get married again. And because every day we choose each other, like we didn't sign anything that makes us stay. Every day is a choice to stay together. And I feel like there's such power in that. And this is one of the things I talk about with people is like, you know, we have these models of like what happily ever after should be, and that getting married is going to be happy ever after. And that being married is a security. And I'm like, everything we know about marriage can destroy happily ever after, because we all of a sudden put expectations. All of a sudden we're like, well, you have to be with me now because you've made a commitment or you've made a vow. Right. And it's like, we've turned in this beautiful, expansive, growing energy into like, well, here's the limit now, you know, we're married and this is how it's going to be. And this is why
complacency maybe too can come in. And I mean, that can happen in any long-term relationship too.
Any relationship.
But like it can, like marriage can be the most beautiful thing and it can be like something totally different. Like it's like some people think having a baby is going to solve a relationship. It's like none of this external stuff is what makes.
Exactly. It's the internal
makes the
world.
Thing. Yeah.
Yes. Like, yeah, I mean, you might want a baby and you might think that life is not, you're not enough if you haven't had your baby or whatever. But like at the end of the day, having a baby is only going to magnify the discontent you have inside, because now you're going to have other things to blame.
The challenges.
You're gonna,
it's not going to be like, oh, that fixed the marriage. It's like, yeah, maybe for like a year, but then like the thing you didn't deal with is still going to be there. Or
Just like getting into the lifestyle. So let's just bring that around a little bit. So I talk about, you know, like opening up your marriage or whatever. Like, this is why we deal with like the internal authenticity is huge to me. I don't just go straight to like, oh, how do you have sex with other people? Let's work to that, because I don't want you doing that. It's not going to fix the relationship. It's not going to fill the void that you think it's going to if that's why you're doing it. If you have a void there, there's something that you're not noticing. There's joy you're not seeking in life. You're not noticing the beautiful things around you, and having sex with someone new is going to feel good for a little bit, but then those hormones are going to dissipate again, and you're going to be left with the reality of who you see yourself as or how you view the world.
Which is so important, isn't it? Because if you have an idea that that's, you know, I mean, plenty of people come to me and say they're fancying somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, that might be because what you've got going on right now is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you're going to fancy somebody else. It's going to feel full of the fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be everything. Your fantasy is just so perfect.
But imagine. But
ultimately, do you want to like make your marriage work or not? Like, what are you there for? Well, is it just to like, you know, if you want to have a beautiful marriage and you're adding in, you know, if you're making a choice about, I guess, exploring non-monogamy or exploring different ways of being together or whatever you're doing.
Like it has to be rooted in a core of joy and understanding in that relationship. Like my partner and I have such an incredible, beautiful relationship where we can talk about all kinds of things. And we also have amazing, beautiful relationships with other people in our lives, with each other and separate from each other. And it's like so beautiful because the things that we've consciously decided we're okay. I'm okay if you're not everything, if you're not all of these things, if you're not like the most intellectual stimulation part of my life, I'm okay with that because I don't need you to be everything for me. You are such a beautiful, safe place, and I can just sink into your arms, and you're so encouraging, and you love me for who I am, and all the other wonderful things I can say about him, right? He's all those beautiful things. And then I have other friends that fulfill this, like, part of me that's like the sapio part of me, and that this intellectual, deep, meaningful conversations, whereas him and I can have these deep, meaningful conversations without words, like with our energy alone. And that's rare. So like, I can't have that with some other people, but I can have these beautiful, gorgeous discussions. This is what I love about this podcast, is these conversations. I was so dead tired an hour ago. And I knew that I would come to life. I mean, I could still feel my eyes are super heavy, but like my insides are alive because this kind of conversation lights me up, right?
Yeah, exactly. It like turns, like just sparks everything inside.
It does.
Yeah, which I love. I know. That's the thing about tiredness, isn't it? Extreme fatigue or whatever. It's like, well, where is the life force? There might still be life force.
Yeah. Well, and I'm a manifesting generator, so I know it's in me if I'm doing something I'm aligned with, but if I'm not doing something I'm aligned with, I'd start to feel really drained. I'm not the person that has to have a lot of sleep or alone time to generate energy. Okay. If I'm just in alignment doing something I'm super passionate about, I can just keep going and going and going.
Yeah. Whereas I'm the projector, so I start to feel like, like I have to go and recharge. I have to go recharge on my own.
Yeah.
But I get so lit up guiding other people and helping them see who they really are. And like I get fed. Yeah. When you're doing your thing, you just get fed, don't you? It's it's so
for
good.
Sure, for sure.
Yeah.
But you were talking about, I don't remember, but it made me think of like, okay, so when I talked about the empowered relationship before, right? Like that it's not about communication, it's about safety and connection. But there's
I love that you said that.
There's a third piece to that, and it's novelty. And so when we add novelty to a relationship, it's like Esther Perel says that eroticism and comfort can't live in the same space.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
so true. And so adding novelty, whether it's just adding new things or new levels of experiences or whatever, that kind of push that comfort level. And when you can feel safe and connected doing that, it can expand your world. So opening up your relationship can be sort of that novel piece in a relationship, as long as you have connection and safety and other things. Like I have this roadmap, this open relationship roadmap that kind of guides you through. And it starts with self-love and sex positivity and community and then boundaries and like being able to do that. But you can't set boundaries if you don't know who you are and if you don't feel that you're worthy of asking anything of everyone or standing up for yourself or honoring yourself. You can't get to that place. And so if you want to add novelty in the form of ethical non-monogamy where you might be opening up your relationship to involve others and you don't have a strong sense of empowered relationship to yourself and to your partner, you won't be successful. It doesn't matter how much you like sex. Doesn't matter how empowered you are just in general.
Yeah.
You have to have this understanding of you doing things that bring you joy and pleasure and understanding that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Because we're so wired, especially a lot of us are people pleasers, right? Like, because we got positive feedback.
And there's so much. And fear, like holding on, fear of what might happen if. And so, the whole people pleaser.
Yeah.
You can't enjoy it unless you're feeling like you feel safe and you feel need to, like, there's no point in doing a show. It's got to be, you've got to have safety in order to expand. And safety can sound like a boring word in that way, like, oh, safety, but ultimately.
Well, you're not going to jump what creates off the most a cliff expansion. Without.
Yeah. It's like, you've got to have the ground. It's like with sexual arousal too. Like you've got to, the more dropped into your parasympathetic like rest and digest mode you are, then when you bring in the sympathetic charge of sexual arousal, the greater and more expansive and all-encompassing the orgasm or the oneness you might experience. But you can still have an orgasm without a lot of parasympathetic, right? You might have this quick, sharp orgasmic experience, but it's not very satisfying.
No, and that's some.
All of you wasn't on board. So it's like the big orgasm. We say the big orgasm of life requires like, what do I need? Like, what does my body need to feel supported? What do I need to expand here? Like, how can I take care of myself? But also, what could I ask for that would feel supportive? Or what other support do I need around me in my life?
Am I willing to receive it? Because you could want it. And not allow yourself to receive it. And then then you're going to resent other people for getting what they want. So I tell this story sometimes. So I'm not a big fan of orgies, okay? And one of the reasons is because I can't get out of my head easily and embody
and
receive what's happening. I'm stuck and it took me a long time and I still struggle with it sometimes to just allow myself to receive because of, programming from my marriage and things like that, where I was told I was selfish and things like that. So I wasn't allowed, and I don't allow myself sometimes to receive, especially in that kind of a setting. And I found myself resenting the people or judging the people that liked the orgies. I'm super sex positive and I show the orgy room and I'm like, you won't find me in here or whatever. But what I was doing is projecting this inability to receive and get out of my head. And I was resenting their ability to do that and just be able to be in the moment. And so sometimes we have to recognize that when we resent others or when resenting a situation is because we're not allowing ourselves to receive sometimes.
I can imagine that.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter. I still don't love orgies, although I guess it kind of was part of one this weekend and it was absolutely lovely because I did not, number one, feel pressure for it to be that. I was in my body. I was enjoying where I was at and I wasn't worried about anybody else or pleasing them. I was just in a receiving mode and I'm not always in that mode. So I actually really enjoyed myself. And yes, I can check off that it actually was an orgy, a small one, but it was still an orgy.
That's beautiful.
So there we go.
That's there you go. And that would be this beautiful experience, I guess, of, expanding in the way that your body has the capacity for, because maybe when you're in a big group, you just get overwhelmed, you get all up in your head and you can't be present, but you gave yourself permission and you were in a smaller group. And
it was all people that I love and I connect to.
That's super important
for me too. And it was in a separate space.
Yeah.
It wasn't a public space.
So there was heaps of things that could make it feel like a yes for you, which is this
felt safe
thing of how we can find a way. I think of we like at the moment you have the you that you are, which if you put your two hands together and put your palms together, you might imagine like, this is me now. And then as you start to try to become, you know, bring in new experiences, new life, you expand a bit, you know, your hands start to come apart. But if you go too wide, you just shut down and you get all up in your head and you don't feel safe and you can't enjoy it and it's like pointless. Or some of my clients I work with, pelvic pain and things like that, they just get a huge pain contractions and it doesn't, you know, everything just goes worse. But if you can find this beautiful edge where you can expand into and your body can like experience more of the light and you can feel start to, it's still an edge, like it's still more than what you're used to, but it's got this yes element to it. You know, you're able to like feel the charge, but like be with it.
Yeah.
And then that's beautiful because then it's this one like little bit by little bit of expansion rather than, and it's like following your body rather than following the rhythm of somebody else's body, somebody else's way, somebody else's desire, somebody else's idea about what they might want to do or what we might be right for them, or modeling your idea of what you should be able to do based on what you read online or see other people do. And it's like this, like what actually, like how do I feel and how can I expand past this resilient edge of resistance, this like how I am, but it's like, yeah, like becoming more of following that desire, but in a way that works with your system. And I love that. And then you could experience something beautiful, and that's so wonderful to hear, you know, that you could.
And it was beautiful because it also was like some things that would normally totally be out of my comfort zone, you know, like experiences that I would never put myself in, like that I never would go, oh yeah, I'm totally gonna do that. I would never set it up that way. But I was just able to let the moment just really authentically flow and let the connection just develop as it should. And it was like such a beautiful moment for everybody involved. And it was just really lovely. And my partner and I just felt so connected by it too. And like the energy was just like, we were very into this moment together as well as with other people. So like, you know, people think, oh, you know, ethical non-monogamy, it's gonna like ruin your relationship or you can't do it. And it's like, if you're in the right place, if you're doing it for the right reasons, if you feel safe, if you feel connected with yourself first, but then with your partner, and you can feel safe to go, you know, like, and today I was very, very drained. I expended a lot of energy this weekend in a lot of different ways. And today I was very, very drained. And so there's some things that came up for me in my body that I was like, why do I struggle with this in my, why have I struggled with this? Or why can't I let go here? And it made me contemplate so many things. Like, why do I shut my body off when I get to this point? What is it? Oh, I think that I put myself in a situation where I feel like someone's expecting something of me and I don't want to disappoint. And so I'm effectively shutting down my body to go, I'm just going to stay in an intellectual space here and not let it penetrate my eroticism and move into my body. And that was for protection, to protect my version of what I thought a while ago, but things are not like that anymore. And there's no need for me to be in that protection mode anymore. And so is it time for me to evolve and to open that back up and revisit why I'm doing that? And what am I hiding by doing that?
Yeah.
You know, what am I fearing? Yeah. And so I had a lovely conversation with my partner today. It was very vulnerable about like, but I felt safe saying, this is where I feel stuck in my body here. And I don't know when this started and why. And so he was able to be like, well, let's work on this together and let's be honest with me and let's explore this together. And I was like, how beautiful to have that, you know? And when you have such an unshameful view of sexuality and such a fluidity, you can have these conversations because I'm not feeling ashamed. It's like I was struggling in my body, but I'm not ashamed of it. I'm just curious about it. And I'm like, there is maybe somewhere shame attached to it. And I want to get rid of that because I don't have shame about so many things. So where is this still hanging on? And just drawing awareness to those little things. Because there's no place for shame in our bodies and sexuality. Like it doesn't serve us other than to protect us. But if we're in a place of safety, if we are open to the most beautiful, honoring relationships, not ones that are toxic, not ones that are
not performative, right?
Yeah. Then we're going to be able to get rid of that shame and just be open to receiving the beautiful things in life.
Love, right?
Yeah. And the more we love our life and who we are, our internal life, like I say, I love being you instead of just love you, love being you. And that is harder because you're like, oh, I just get to enjoy the daily things of what I do. It's not about bubble baths or getting my nails done or this or that. It's about literally just enjoying who I am at my core. And living from that place of joy and believing that others are also going to love me, and those who don't are not meant to be in my life, because if they don't love me at least as much as I love myself, then there's no place for that, you know? So, but that's hard to get to. Well, we are almost out of time. Nina, is there anything you want to share with us? Is there, if people want to find you and look at your work and see what you do, I will put links in the show notes. So if there's anything you would like to share, final words of wisdom or anything.
Final words of wisdom. Oh, all the pressure. I just want to share that it's so beautiful wherever anybody is right now on this journey. And I love that you said around, you know, loving being who you are and just bringing that curiosity to where we're at. And that's such an expansive lens to look at things, curiosity. And through that, I would love to offer anyone that's ready, they might want to step into doing a somatic session with me where we can look at uncoupling, so this glued, you know, the shame that gets glued to your experience or the things that get added on that you feel like you want to be free of that no longer serve you, and look at where in your life you're creating stuckness and you want to create momentum. So yeah, I offer these sessions where we can start to and actually do that work together and often bring about really amazing breakthroughs, all sorts of different breakthroughs, even through that one session, because that's that one stepping in and saying yes and being ready and giving yourself permission to call in more expansiveness and pleasure and goodness into your life. And just know that some of these things are stories and conditioning and
those stories,
are all of the stuff, and it's like, wow, who am I without that? So yeah, those scary, that are ready for their expansion.
That feels like the grounding place sometimes, right? It's like this story that I believe is like it's my safety.
Yeah,
but really, when you remove that story,
I could never. Yeah. I mean, I'm a bit of the trickster, so I play sometimes a game with people around, you know, like what are the things that they, if they, you could have anything, like how would you have it? What would you want? And just like, just imagining all of the wrong things, because there's this beautiful quote, I can't remember who it's by, but a friend of mine used to have it on the bottom of their email. I don't know the difference between right and wrong, only between wrong and fun. So I'll say that again if people didn't hear it. I don't know the difference between right and wrong, only wrong and fun.
I love that. I love that.
Because right and wrong is just a concept, right? So, yeah, what if we could allow ourselves to be free of all the things that aren't really wrong?
Right.
But they're keeping us from our fun.
Mm-hmm. And let me add, you can be responsible and still live a life of fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's actually going to be okay.
It's not, you might be freaking the hell out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been a very successful parent.
That's just a resistance story. That's just the one of the ways it shows up, isn't it? To stop you taking action forward is like, oh no, it's going to make me a bad parent. Oh no, I'm going to.
Yeah. Or like, you know, like, you can't enjoy your sexuality or be a sexual heathen. You're going to be immoral and you're not going to be able to teach morals to your children. Well, I can guarantee you, I have three adult children now and they are beautiful human beings, very moral and loving people, and very aware. And anybody who meets my kids are like, oh my gosh, you've done such a good job with them. I'm like, you know what? That's not the point. They are very well.
This is like a whole other conversation about
it. What I'm getting at is like,
I like it.
The morality, like sexuality or pleasure, does not make you an immoral person.
No.
It really doesn't. I mean,
you look at stats between Europe and America.
Mm.
In America, there, the viewers tell kids not to do it. Say, just say no. They have radically higher teen pregnancy rate than in Europe, where the approach is let's talk to the kids about sex and relationship and using condoms and how to make it safer. And it's just like, so just say no, pretending that you don't have the urges, saying it's not the right time, it should be later. And they're like, all of that's nonsense. Like being a teenager, exploring your sexuality is natural, and it's so much better to educate and to talk to people about their own yeses and nos, and exploring who they are and taking care of themselves than some false idea about morality or like right and wrong.
I know. It's awful. And now, you know, at the clubs, one of the biggest thing is like trying to get people to understand consent. And understanding that they're allowed to say no and they don't owe anybody anything. And we're taught that from a young age, like kids didn't learn how to say no. They learned to say no to everything, but not no to their own individual situations as they explored.
To come out of fawning and people pleasing as a woman, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty big. It's not always easy because it is a trauma response. It's a automatic physiological response in the body to switch over to like letting something happen, even if you're not a full yes. So it's really takes a lot of consciousness and work around like ways in which you might move away from things that as soon as they start to feel not quite right, like because of like level of tolerance, you know, some people will tolerate for a really, really long time before they stop something. It's like, how can we start to notice as soon as it starts to move away from, because that's, we've got more choice then than we do once we've overrid for longer.
Yeah,
sort of like the nervous system is so activated, it's much harder. Mm-hmm. So which is why we don't want to shame anyone for those times that you weren't able to, because it is actually a physiological response.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about finding that way to like gravitate towards creating the spaces, like knowing when something feels really safe, knowing when you're not already starting to feel a bit activated. And
and doesn't that go right hand in hand with understanding where your pleasure comes from and what feels pleasurable to you to begin with? Because then you can go, not pleasurable. That makes
sense. And that's okay.
Yeah. But if you're like, oh, wait, I know what my body reacts to and what I like and what I feel.
Or I should enjoy this.
Yeah.
Like other women enjoy this. Yes. I should be enjoying this. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, anyways, we can start a whole new conversation.
God. There's another one. We've got to close. This has been amazing. I want to thank everyone who's listening this far to this big conversation, and super curious to hear what people take away, and excited for any expansion and more love and more pleasure that happens in people's lives through this.
Yay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Nina, for being here. I really appreciate it. It's been lovely chatting with you. And as I always say, when it comes to sex positivity, authenticity is the key. I'll see you next time. Wow, what a beautiful conversation. I so enjoyed that. And I love her approach to life and just the difference that it makes when you really start to enjoy the life that you have for what it is and start noticing the beautiful things. Start being grateful for things that you notice. Start noticing the pleasure in little moments in life. And there's something so beautiful about living in this way, and it becomes a habit, and you can't help but notice the beauty of living when you notice the things around you, the sensations, the people, the connections, and when you value those things rather than your circumstances, life starts to open up for you, and it's so incredible. So I challenge you to really start thinking about, are you trying to get away from the life that you have? Are you trying to escape it in some way? Or are you embracing the life that you have? Are you embracing who you are at your core without feeling like you have to change who you are? Because I'll guarantee that if you constantly feel like you have to change and you have to change this or that, you are going to start to feel dissatisfied. You're going to feel like it's so much work and there's something wrong with you. But there's nothing wrong with you. Sure, we can always grow. We want to be better. However, if we can't enjoy the simplicity in life or enjoy the very core of who we are on a daily basis, we're not going to enjoy anything new that we design or create for our life. It really starts inside. So keep that in mind. I want to encourage you to be the best version of yourself by just allowing yourself to be you, enjoy being you, and enjoying the life that you have. I will see you next time. Love you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Corinne Bedard Coaching, and you can visit my website at corinnebedard.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give it a like and share it with your friends. I'd be so grateful if you could help by giving us a 5-star review on Podchaser or iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe to our mailing list to be kept up to date about upcoming episodes and exciting news. Just visit our website at breakingfreeauthentically.com. and scroll down to subscribe. You can also email me anytime. I'd love to hear from you. Send your messages and questions to corinne@corinnebedard.com. Are you a part of my Facebook community yet? Join us in Breaking Free Authentically. It's where you will find this sex-positive relationship community. I'd be thrilled to have you be a part of this community with me. All the links will be in the show notes, so don't forget to check it out. Remember, when it comes to sex positivity, authenticity is the key. Have a great week.